Hello, everyone, and welcome to Trailblazers, the AFL's official women's podcast. I'm Nat Edwards, and joining me in the studio today is Lauren Arnell from the Western Bulldogs. Lauren, it's a pleasure to have you in.
Thanks very much, Nat.
We also have a very special guest in studio with us as well, and we'll chat about footy and the Western Bulldogs in a second, but it's a very warm welcome to AFL General Manager Game and Market Development, Simon Lefleen. Simon, that is a very long title, but welcome.
Thank you. It's good to have long titles. It means it's sort of half important.
Yes, it does. I need to work on my title then.
That's okay, no worries.
A very exciting time indeed for women's football. Last month, 13 clubs submitted bids for a women's licence. How are you going tracking through all those proposals? It's a fairly big job.
Yeah, there's some big documents in there, but really great quality. You know, we talked about with the club CEOs on Thursday last week about the quality of submissions, and, you know, they've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and I suppose most importantly, got the best interests at heart for developing female football and integrating the teams into their clubs and engaging with, I guess, a new passionate segment of our fan base. So that's going to be a very hard decision, and it's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Were you surprised to have that many bids?
Not by the time we got them, but I suppose if you think about this scenario this time last year, I suppose the answer is yes. But since then, as Lauren will be able to tell, we've invested in academies and talent searches and more community clubs. So there's more talent available, and I guess the clubs have come along for the ride with us when they've seen the success of what some clubs have been doing with female footy. So no surprise in the end, but some really passionate and great submissions.
Just to recap, obviously, the Hawks, Suns, Power, Bombers and Swans were the clubs that didn't submit bids. Lauren, you were involved a little bit with Carlton and their bid going forward. Can you tell us about the process?
Yeah, certainly. It was a very big process and one that holds a lot of gravity, certainly at Carlton Footy Club. So I'm the female ambassador at Carlton Footy Club, so obviously working as a team with everybody there to put together the strongest licence bid that we could, with a view to not just having a bid document, but being able to roll out the best integrated team within the existing Carlton Footy Club, but also to create the best environment for female players for next year. So fingers crossed, it's a pretty nerve-wracking sort of time of the month, really. It's I think end of May they've said it's coming through, so all we can do is hope that we've put our best foot forward and prepared ourselves the best that we can to do that. So we'll see.
Is that the time frame, Simon, end of this month, that you'll sort of be able to tell clubs, are they in or out?
Yeah, we sort of told the clubs we need a month. Okay. I guess it'll take as long as it needs to. We need to, I'm putting a recommendation to the executive sort of next week after some discussions with the executive group later this week. And it needs to go to the commission. It's obviously a commission decision to ratify any recommendations we have. And there's no commission meeting in May, so we'll either get the commission together in a sort of a special meeting at the end of the month, or we can hang on, I guess, until June. But we'd rather, if we made the decision, we'd rather make that decision and move on with the rest of the planning required. And clubs are waiting and keen to activate, and obviously some of the girls involved in the system are keen to know too. So we'll do it as fast as we can, but there's lots of work to do.
Originally, it was touted as an 8-team competition for next year. There's obviously been 13 clubs, as we've mentioned. Gill probably said last week they might consider 10. What's your feeling and what's your view on that?
Yeah, look, it probably started off this time last year or in August, whenever we announced it, as probably being 4 to 6 teams. And I guess it's we've found our way through to sort of caught up to 8 in the last few months based on the talent available. And even then it might be a stretch at the elite end of talent. But okay, I guess we've looked at maybe expanding to 10, given the quality of submissions, given the interest from clubs, and sort of why sort of stifle that momentum, especially in, you know, other areas, you know, like Geelong, for instance, where participation is low and big catchment areas for the country, and St Kilda in the Bayside area, and North and Carlton in the Northern Corridor. So why stymie it? But at the same time, we need to deliver, you know, an on-field competitive product. So we'll be pretty careful what we end up doing. But we're open between 8 and 10, I think.
Lauren, do you think there is the depth of talent to have 10 teams in the competition?
Yeah, certainly a challenging question for everybody involved. I think 8 is fantastic, and I think what we see with the growth of all women's sports at the moment is you provide the opportunity for females to be elite or at least sub-elite athletes, and they'll come in droves and perform. So my opinion personally is if the opportunity is provided and the resources around that are provided, then the athletes will step up and you'll see a really good product.
Now, the Brisbane Lions, we know that they lodged a bid and the Suns obviously aren't putting one forward. So if there is one team per state, you might be well-placed to say that the Lions are the front runners in that case. But last week they announced that they had signed Taylor Harris as their first women's player. Can they actually do that, given they haven't officially been granted a licence?
I thought you might ask this question, so I have got an answer for you.
Excellent.
I guess the short answer, and just to clarify, is that no club's got the capacity, legally or otherwise, to sign any players at the moment. There's obviously women that we know that got strong affiliations with clubs such as Daisy at Melbourne and probably Taylor at Brisbane because she lives there and been involved there. But at the moment, she has worked for AFLQ for a long time and she's just been employed, as far as I understand, by Brisbane Lions to work in there as a development officer of female football. So that's not a bad start, but they certainly can't sign a player to play just as yet.
Have you heard of any other discussions, Lauren, I guess, between clubs and players going on, or is it, you know, they're trying to steer clear of that until licences are granted?
Oh, I think it's near on impossible to do anything like that until we know what the competition structure looks like, and that starts with clubs. But I think just to speak from a player's perspective, there's no doubt there's just huge excitement at the opportunity for everybody. So I think it hasn't happened for me personally, but if a club's to approach you with a contract as a player, it probably helps to have that education, and this situation probably demonstrates where the athletes are coming from, in that most of us have worked in other industries full-time or part-time or studying, and to now be in an elite AFL environment, there's a lot of learning that needs to happen pretty quickly. So but there is a real excitement. So you'd imagine that players would want to move forward if offered a contract by a club. So I guess, as Simon said, we need to be careful around that, and the structure of the competition needs to be in place first.
I guess one of the main things that has happened, though, which is critical for this, and one of the aspirations of the comp, is that some of the women now are already getting employed in the industry. Mm. You know, Lauren's gone to AFL Victoria, which is great. You know, Darcy Vescio's gone to Carlton, you know, doing some graphic design and other work. And Daisy's working at Melbourne and Taylor's working at Brisbane. So we've always started to see clubs be wise enough to know that there's some great talent amongst the women that are playing footy just to be in the industry. So it's a pretty good start. So we're not here to get in the way of that, but there are some procedural stuff on list management that can't just happen quite yet.
Well, on that recruiting process, how's it going to work? Are we going to have a full draft? Are there going to be marquee player signings for clubs? Have you thought more about that?
Yeah, look, we have. Josh Vandeloo's working pretty closely, again, with another woman who plays footy, Asta O'Connor, who's been looking at the talent pool. I guess what we would say is that we're not going to have the pure draft system we have for the men's comp now. We're just not positioned that way with the talent pool to do so. If we want to set up 8 or 10 teams with some competitive balance such that we have a landscape that's competitive right from the word go, then we need to, I think, in our own ways, whether that's be assigning marquee players to each club or giving 5 or 6 players per team to be pre-signed based on geographic location or career opportunities or whatever it might be, that's how we're going to do it, I think, for the first 7 or 8 players per club, and then there'll probably be state-based drafts thereafter, you know, for the Victorian clubs to choose from what's a big talent pool, for the Perth club or clubs to choose from that pool, and likewise around the state. And we'll need some help, I think, with the Adelaide and Sydney markets, probably from the NT and Tasmanian women, but that's all to be decided a bit still.
And you're looking January, February for the competition to start, or will it coincide with the NAB Challenge?
Yeah, I think more likely February, March. If it's 8 weeks, yep, you know, 6 games plus 2 weeks of finals or whatever it might be, Feb, March is probably the way to go, and it sort of takes you either to the week before the AFL season starts as a, you know, standalone in that week where there's no games, or potentially up against the round one games for the AFL comp where it could be a curtain raiser or whatever's best for the competition. We're starting from a blank canvas, which is rare, so we can do whatever we want, which is nice.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in is also getting Lauren's opinion on this. Are there going to be tweaks to the rules for the women's league? Are we looking at reduced quarters or 16 players a side? There's been talk about the Super Goal. I know you haven't worked your way through all of that yet, but have you got a few ideas there that you are looking at?
Yeah, we do. I think there'll certainly be some tweaks. I think we'd be mad if there wasn't. I mean, if you started the men's comp now, there wouldn't be lots of things that happen in the men's comp apart from the fact that they're sort of embedded in our rules and in the history of our game. But, you know, we're going to deal with the heat in February, March as well. So that would lend itself to, you know, not necessarily 30-minute quarters. I think there's probably dimensions of the ground that suit women's footy better than others. And also there's, in the analysis of the game so far, female football is more congested probably than men's footy, so we might look at the numbers or the style of play, but we won't do anything disrespectful. We won't do anything that actually, you know, is the women playing the game don't want to do, and it'll be to make the product look as good as it can, and that's important, I think. But, you know, people like Lauren and Mel and others in the room now will be consulted about what those rules might look like.
Lauren, how do you feel about that? Would you like to just play, you know, the game of footy that you've always played in its purest form?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because you understand where the AFL are coming from in the product that we're trying to produce. But we also understand that we're footballers and we're all very passionate footballers. So we do want to play the game of football in the AFL. So, I mean, in respect to the heat conditions, absolutely 30-minute quarters don't make a lot of sense. Ground dimensions, personally, I like the size of the ground and the way it is. And you'd like to think that we play on the big venues too, so... I think when you look at the women's big bash and when the ropes are in, there's been some negative crowd feedback in that, and that it's a little bit gimmicky. So striking that balance between if it's 16 aside, but it's a normal field space and there's no ropes as such, I think that's a bit less gimmicky. But then also, I've done some coaching in the TAC system. And I think the anti-congestion rule works really, really well. So having two players at either end within the 50s at stoppages, I think if the issue is congestion, which I would agree with you, Simon, in women's footy that can tend to happen, I think that's a starting point, but you just got to be careful how far that goes, I think.
Well, Simon, you have a big job ahead of you. You've done a great job so far. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me in it. Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, we will be back after this short break. You're listening to Trailblazers on afl.com.au. Lauren Arnell from the Western Bulldogs is with me, and we have another special guest in the chair. We've said goodbye to Simon Lethlean of the AFL, and it's Melissa Hickey from the Melbourne Football Club who joins us now. Mel, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I know you were listening to Simon there at the end. What do you think about the rule changes and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting to be a participant of this and also an observer as a lover of AFL and obviously women's AFL. So every time something's announced, it's quite exciting for us to kind of hear new news about where things are going. So I'm probably a bit of a different opinion, and I think it's something that is quite polarising. I think people have quite strong and emotive feelings about rules and changing the game. And I guess when you look at the 2020, that was something that was quite innovative in cricket, and there was a lot of opinions around that, and that's turned into something that's its own entity. And I don't think we're talking about major changes to the game. It's just a few little tweaks that will make it a bit more appealing for the viewers. So, yeah, I'm not opposed to some of those things.
I mean, both of you have played on the MCG. Is it too big?
Oh, it's nice if you can run. The space is fantastic.
I think if you go end to end through the middle of the ground, it's actually very doable. And even I think Etihad might be slightly wider. Mm. So if you get caught out on the wings on Etihad, it can be tricky. But I think when you've got the skill level of the ladies that are playing on the weekend, for me, it's not much of a drama. If you have less congestion, it's fine.
Now, obviously, both of you opponents when it comes to Melbourne v Western Bulldogs, but you're actually teammates for the Darebin Falcons, is that correct?
Yeah. Very lucky to play with Loz.
How's the season going so far?
Yeah, we're tracking pretty well. We're undefeated so far. I think we've played six rounds. So
beautiful.
The kind of level of competition's really lifted this year across the Victorian Football League women's comp, so we've just changed to a state league, and yeah, we've had a really great start.
I mean, how have you girls seen the development of women's footy over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years since, you know, Melbourne and the Western Bulldogs have got involved? Are you just seeing it continually growing?
Yeah, I mean, you read articles like Moana Hope, who plays for the Bulldogs and St Kilda Sharks at state league level. I read that she'd kind of fallen away from footy a little bit, and then with the draft coming back in, it was just enough, and now you see she's one of the stars on the exhibition stage. So and then you see AFL Victoria running the academy program over the summer, and there's 150 players engaged in that complete pre-season program. And what we've seen on field so far in those six games that Mel was describing has just been a complete lift in standard. And, I mean, from fitness levels right through to understanding of the game and skill level across everybody has just been incredible, and it's fantastic to see.
Well, we had the Youth Girls Championships a couple of weeks ago, and I know you were commentating, Lauren.
Yeah.
How did you go with the commentary?
Oh, I've got to be able to learn at that end, I think.
It's tough, isn't it? It looks easier than it is. You watch them on TV and you're like, yeah, I could do that, and then it's actually quite tough. But what was the level of competition like?
Oh, it was so much fun to be able to watch and commentate those players. They're just... I think it's just really showing that the pathway now is complete in women's football. So to see those, I guess AFL's looking for first-choice athletes. We're seeing first-choice athletes playing AFL at junior level now too, and it really stands out. So to see junior players be able to go confidently onto the opposite side of their body and also play to structures and slow down the game when they're up with 5 minutes to go in a third quarter is it's really impressive, and it's exciting footy to watch. So to know that those players are coming through in the next couple of years is, I guess, for Mel and I, we've got a few more years left in our careers, but it'd be nice to play against a few of them, that's for sure.
Well, you're never too old to start, are you? So if you're looking out there to have a game of footy, get involved. Yeah. Now let's talk about the game coming up on Sunday. It is the seventh game in the Women's Exhibition Series. I think there's 10 matches going through this year. Melbourne versus the Brisbane Lions, Sunday. If you can't get down there, I think the game starts at 10:05. It's the curtain raiser to the men's game. But you can watch it on afl.com.au. It'll be live streamed or, of course, on Fox Footy. Mel, how are you feeling about this game? It's been a little while between drinks for the D's.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I think any time you get to play on the G's is an incredible opportunity, and to be able to play for Melbourne again, and I guess they've been someone that's been so supportive of women's football for such a long time, and it's always been quite a genuine experience being involved at the D. So we'll go in for a couple of trainings towards the end of this week and obviously get the group of girls together and, have Michelle Cowan coaching us again, which is always, such a privilege to play under her. So, really excited.
Is that the hardest thing, I guess, not being able to train together consistently and you kind of just come together a couple of weeks or maybe the week of?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the challenges, and I guess next year with the National League that will change, where we'll have quite a number of months to play together. I think you'll see the product will be different as well because of that. But I think, I guess we keep the structures quite simple and just play hard footy and try to gel over a couple of days. So,
all right. Well, Lauren's going to give us a little bit of a preview of this game. I like it. Over to you.
Yeah, I think obviously it's an exciting time. Queensland flying down mid-season to play a big match against the Melbourne girls. It's fantastic. So I guess we expect the best of Queensland to play half of the best of Victoria. So you'd hope it's a relatively close game. Just looking over the team list at the moment, it looks like it's going to be a game of smalls. I know Game of Thrones is pretty hot out there at the moment, but I'm going to call Sunday as a game of smalls.
I like it. Game of smalls on Sunday at the G.
Obviously, Mel's one of the taller players, and she'll be that general at centre-half back and certainly a player to watch. But for mine, Queensland will bring, I guess their elite talent really does lie in their taller players, but there's just a couple of those. So I look at the Melbourne lineup and think I'm not quite sure who their tall forward is. Sarah Darcy's a nice hit-up forward, but she's a little bit smaller. So I think Melbourne's rucks with Lauren Pearce, who's just brand new to footy, she's playing State League basketball and State League footy at Darabin with us now this year too. So for her to be named in the Demon side this week's really exciting, and she, I think, certainly at the level, no doubt about that. And also Kate Gillespie-Jones, who plays for Seaford in the VFL Women's, and Maddie Boyd from North Geelong. Those are the three talls for Melbourne, and typically rucks, so Melbourne are going to have to float those three in some way, I think, through the forward line.
Mm. What about Brisbane? So if you're heading there to the game on the weekend and you've never seen any women's footy before, who should we be watching out for?
I think, we mentioned Taylor Harris earlier. Yeah. She's the obvious one.
And I saw a mark that she took on the weekend. Another one. Like, she's taken a couple of good speckies already, but this was another brilliant mark.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about Taylor. She's a footballer, but she's also an athlete. Mm. So I noticed the Gold Coast Suns Brisbane Lions game a few weeks ago up at the Gabba. They played Taylor quite a lot behind the ball, which I haven't seen before. No. When we say Taylor, we see either ruck or forward. So in this game, I'd really like to see Brisbane do that and play her behind the footy, knowing that Melbourne will probably play their rucks through that forward line. To see her running at the ball pretty hard and creating play for them, it could cause a little bit of havoc on the transition for the Demons girls. So we'll see.
Who are you wary of, Mel, when you look at their list?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're Taylor Harris, Emma Zilke. She's obviously played a number of years. I got to play with her at the D's a couple of years ago as well. And Emily Bates, she's a really handy little midfielder as well. Talia Randall, there's been a few girls that we know from sort of the previous exhibition games, but there's obviously a lot of unknowns too, and sometimes that's probably the thing that you're a bit more wary of.
Yep, true. All right, a tip from you, Lauren. I'm going to put you on the spot.
I'm going to say Demons. Can I
is
say
it just
a surprise?
Because she's sitting next to you?
Not at all, not at all. I think the depth of the Melbourne girls is very, very strong, and I'm really excited to see one of the Northern Territory girls running out for the Demons. And we actually went to the same primary school and played for the same junior basketball club, and she's up in Northern Territory. I'm excited to see her play footy, Angela Foley.
Okay.
So I'm told she's a hard-running mid and reasonably skillful, so that'll be really good to see. My tip will be Melbourne.
Oh, Melbourne. All right. We'll go with Melbourne then.
Of course.
I'll be there to watch that game. It should be an absolute cracker. And as I mentioned, you can stream it on afl.com.au Sunday, 10:05 a.m. at the MCG. Now, just tell me a little bit, ladies, about what you do outside of footy, because I always think that's interesting to get a little bit of your personalities and all the rest. We'll start with you, Mel.
Yeah, so I work in work cover insurance, so don't judge me on that. But so I have a bit of an occupational rehab background.
Yep.
So, yeah, helping people get back to work.
Beautiful. And Lauren, you've got a new job.
I do have a PE teaching background, and I do quite a lot of coaching. I've got my level 2 coaching certificate, and I've worked quite a lot at Calder Cannons. But beyond that, beyond the PE teaching and the coaching, I'm now employed as education and training manager at AFL Victoria. So that's a week in and certainly very exciting.
Fantastic. Well, thank you both so much for coming in today. It's been a pleasure having you in on Trailblazers. You can catch all of the AFL Women's news at afl.com.au/women's. There's plenty of action on social media as well. You can tweet us at AFL Female and use the hashtag Journey2017. And, of course, the Bulldogs are playing on June 5, is that right, against
WA?
Yeah.
You're
looking forward to that one?
Certainly am. It's only a couple of weeks away now, so I can see Mel walked in and she's a little bit edgy and looking forward to playing on the G, so I can relax this week and have a bye round, but, start already to get the nerves going and excitement for June 5.
And, of course, we can't wait till September 3 when the Dogs and the D's are going to go head-to-head again, so looking forward to that one. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you again soon.